Thank you, Josh. Well, in the spirit of Josh's hand modeling, I am going to ask for participation via hands to the questions that I asked, because basically the topic for today is how to leverage a software implementation as a career boost, which seems like a really narrow topic. But I think what, as I was kind of pulling back the pieces and parts, I was realizing that this topic, I think, relates to any type of change that you're trying to apply with a bunch of people who may or may not be on board with you, right? So technology, I think, is a great field because you have, you know, roughly 75, by the year 2025, you're gonna have 75% of the people that were raised on technology in the workforce. So we're kind of in this middle stage where a lot of these, you know, what we call digital immigrants are kind of trying to figure it all out. And so I guess to start us off, really, I'd love to ask the base question, which is, who's familiar with Murphy's Law? Perfect. Yeah, let's look at those beautiful hands. It's not just Josh. Come on, let's be honest. Josh is just the only one who's made it lucrative. So when we talk about Murphy's Law, and for anybody who doesn't know, it's basically anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And if you're familiar with that idea, then you're probably familiar with leading some sort of change. You know, you're leading. You're basically accustomed to being able to apply or try something against a group of things you just don't have control of. And so ultimately, that's what software implementation is to me. Just to start us off, Murphy's Law is, so I had this presentation today, and I'm actually doing a version of this presentation on Monday. And sort of my backdrop, you may or may not see, is I broke my ankle last night. So I spent the entire time up until about a half an hour ago in the ER getting a new boot and some new crutches and trying to figure out. So all of my planning time for this meeting kind of shrank down to a couple of minutes. But anyhow, so there's this concept, the law of diffusion of innovation. Is anybody familiar with that? Awesome. So this, you don't have to know technology, but the idea is that roughly 16% of the people that are involved in software innovation, and that could be an iPhone, that could be any type of innovation, are the people that are early adopters or leaders in that change. Everybody else, to some degree, has to be nuanced, brought along some way. So if you're in that 16%, your job effectively is not only to buy and accept the change early, but to try to convince the other, what was that math, 84% of the people to come along. So that's effectively, I'm simplifying it. It's kind of a, you know, there's a couple of nuances to it, but the idea is that on top of that, so you have technology kind of shifting, you have the leadership that's required in implementation. And then on top of that, you also have the career question. And the career question for me is, because I'm with a bunch of brainiacs, I'm just gonna keep asking you guys questions, and also I love your hands, is, are you familiar with the bricklayer's parable? No, yes, oh, okay, wow. God, that was the first thumb down, John. Sorry, it hit me right here. So basically the concept of the bricklayers is, the parable is that three bricklayers were asked the same question, and the question was, what do you do, right? Okay, and one bricklayer said, well, you know, I stack bricks, you know, and kind of looked at them like, that's a stupid question. And then the second bricklayer, like, what do you do? And he's like, well, I'm building a church. And the third bricklayer says, well, I'm building the house of God. And so the idea, the base idea here is that you can either look at your job or your path or what you do, your occupation, if, as it were, as a job, as a career, or as a calling, right? The third bricklayer saw the big vision, saw the big idea. So to truly have an effective conversation about your career and leveraging technology, you kind of have to have the place of, hey, I'm in control. And on top of that, I have more than just a job. I have an opportunity for a calling. And so not all of us can be that third bricklayer, but the idea here is that you have to just, you know, think of your opportunity. And I'm talking to a lot of alt MBAers who seize the opportunity anyhow, but you have to look at that as something that you're in control of, and that is greater than just a paycheck. So moving into these four key traits of an implementer, and again, I'm not just talking specifically about software implementation, but really about who you are as a change leader. And that can be, you know, even, you know, setting your daughter's wedding, you know, planning the wedding or whatever. There's a lot to what I'm talking about here. To do it successfully, you have to have four key traits. You have to have four key traits that I'm borrowing heavily from John Acuff on. And one is you have to emphasize relationships, right? So you can't affect the other 84% in the law of diffusion unless you focus on who they are. You understand their reluctance to change. You know, all of us probably have aunts, uncles, maybe even ourselves, who are what we call technological one-trick ponies who have just like stopped, like, I'm done. Like, I refuse to do any other technology change. That's my dad in this case. He is an animator. He grew up on cells, you know, he did it all. And then computers came in and ruined his life, but he could do one thing on the computer and that's it. He's refused any other new data points. So we all know that the ability to emphasize and navigate relationships is critical. The other thing is character. Conscientious leadership. You have to be someone who people are willing to follow. You know, if you're trying to convince somebody who's reluctant, it's not just a matter of having, put their arm around and be like, hey, let's be buddies. It's a lot more than that. It's being somebody that is, you know, is the opposite of Enron, somebody that people want to get on board and feel like, okay, yeah, this isn't the house of cards. You know, like it is a movement. It is not just a moment. Sorry, Hamilton fans. I totally stole that one. Thank you, Tamara. So, and also nice hands. By the way, you missed the entire hands joke, so that's not going to make any sense to you. But all right, back to the topic at hand. The other thing is you have to have, I know, sorry, it's too easy. You have to have a hunger to learn new skills. So, you know, and I'll pause here and say, I am totally ripping off John Acuff. He did a book with us, Finish. Amazing, you know, amazing guy. But this book, Do Over, I think unquestionably is one of the best books. Even Seth Godin says one of the best career advice books ever. And there it is. Thank you, Helena. So I loved it. And so the hunger to learn new skills, if you're an implementer and if you're leading the change and you see the path is that by 2025, a bunch of people are used to growing up on technology, we're kind of in that 7 years now where you've got to keep pushing yourself to get there. Because at the end of the day, the people that are going to be sitting in the seats are the people that are naturally just attuned to technology. So they are a different breed, quite frankly. The layering on top of that, the last thing is what I would call focused hustle. I think we all know friends and families who are like whirling dervishes of energy and they kind of burn themselves out. And I add the word focus because you have to be intent with what you focus your energies on. If you've ever read the book Grit, I'm looking at Helena, I'm guessing she has, because yes, she's going to show in a minute. So by Angela Duckworth, and the idea is a heavily controversial book, but especially in the education sector. But the idea here is that, you know, if you have passion, if you have perseverance, if you're focused and you do what's called deliberate practice, that's something that you can continually work on. It's a muscle that you can exercise. So if you're leading change, those four traits, relationships, character, hustle, and skills, the hunger to learn new skills, are critical to setting a path that others will follow and also to be successful. Now, if you're looking at your career and what that might mean for you, those four traits are I think one thing I want to dispel is we have this idea that the only, or I do, I'll admit this, which is the only way to progress is to move up, is to get promoted, is to get to the top of the pyramid. And I have to admit, prior to the Ald MBA, there are two things that I thought that changed my mind completely because of it. One was that's the only thing, the only path is up. And two is that all of you, I used to think were my competitors. And which is a ridiculous thing to admit to a bunch of amazing people. But the reality is that was, I externalized what I was doing. And I think what I was missing was the measures, the idea that all of this, all of the four key traits are internal. They're all things that I can focus on and they have nothing to do with anybody else. So what I challenge you all is okay, pause, take a step back and then look at, in John Acuff's book, he actually uses an equation to, and he uses this concept of career savings account. And I'm actually asking you to use it in a slightly different way, which is use it monthly as a way to check in on your progress. Use it monthly, use that equation. And the equation is basically, it is skills plus hunger, skills plus character plus relationships times hustle. So the idea is hustle emphasizes all of the other concepts, all of the other traits, meaning you add hustle to relationships and you are the life of the party, right? Kind of concept. Not exactly perfectly, but you, hopefully you get the idea. So the idea is monthly or quarterly, use that to reflect upon where you are in your progression, especially if you're implementing software, if you're doing any kind of leading of change, that is a critical way. So if you gave yourself this month a score and then you came back and you said, okay, these are the things I need to work on. And you came back and you did the same exercise. Simultaneously, it's not just about getting a score. It's also about knowing what you need to focus on, what you need to work on. And one thing that I think is critical is feedback. And it's one thing that the All-NBA did so incredibly well. And so I would challenge all of you, if you haven't already, is to cultivate co-conspirators, people who are going to provide you with that feedback along your journey. And it doesn't have to be people. Again, if you the first step is you have to stop seeing people as your competition, which I learned. I learned through the All-NBA. Quite frankly, it was the probably one of the loudest messages I took away from it. But the idea is build up your co-conspirators, and that goes back to the relationships, to help you kind of manage along the way. It's not necessarily about the going up to the top of the pyramid. It's about, okay, how do you track progression along the way? All right, so I'll pause there.